Very good afternoon. It's just coming up to 2 minutes past 12. And joining me in the studio is London-born singer-songwriter Noel Cowley. Noel's here to play live in the studio and talk about his life in music. And his second EP, which is Home Is Everything, is out now. You can also check out his website, all the W's, noelcowley.com. Hello.
Hello, Michelle.
It's nice to see you.
You too. It's very Christmassy in here.
Do you know, I put these up, these decorations. I do like to blow my own trumpet.
You're quick off the mark. I suppose I should have expected it, really, because all the shops have them, but...
Well, the thing is, I actually hate Christmas, but because it's the studio, I was trying to make people feel sort of Christmassy when they come in.
Yeah, this is the double bluff.
Yeah, it is.
Because I walked in and I thought, wow, this woman loves Christmas. It's not even December.
I don't like Christmas or people. I'm a funny person, really. That's why I work in radio on my own. There you go. And I've been having a good old natter about music off air. You're born in London, but you're actually originally from Ireland.
Yeah, my family has done lots of sort of to-ing and fro-ing. Back and forth from London to Dublin or Derry. It goes way back. Like my mum is English. You know, she was born in London, but her dad was Irish from Dublin, and my dad's Irish from Derry. Even though I was born here, I did most of my growing up in Ireland, and all of my brothers and my sister were born there. We've always retained this really close link to London again. I suppose I came back to London at the quickest opportunity when I was 18. We have so many relatives here and memories here, and we know the place so well. Mm. And we got used to, even though people complain about the transport, we got used to, you know, what is actually pretty good transport, like millions of buses and millions of tubes every 2 minutes.
I suppose the way of life over in, even in Dublin, as we were chatting, I lived there for quite a few years. It's a very friendly place, Dublin, and they've got a great music scene out there now. In fact, I know loads of people from here that are going back over to Dublin, yeah, for music.
I guess lots of things have changed. Yeah, that music scene in Dublin is where my brother and I started out in a band, and we would play little venues like, do you know, Whelan's? The music scene there is quite small. It's almost like a square mile of venues. Yeah. There's plenty of places in Temple Bar where you might play. We got to play in the Olympia as well in Dublin. That's a lovely old theatre. That's where any bands would play, unless they want to do stadiums. That would be considered the best. So that was kind of the highlight of our time there. That was supporting the Undertones. Yeah, that was our last gig, actually. So we left on a high, and it was all downhill from there.
Your family, are they all musical? And when did you first sort of pick the guitar up?
Yeah, actually, they are. Some, not necessarily obviously so. Like, they don't all play in bands or orchestras or choirs or anything, but some of my earliest memories are my mum, you know, singing things like Speed Bunny Boat, or my dad singing, you know, stuff like Danny Boy. Just singing us to sleep. We had a piano in the house. I remember my granddad, when he thought no one was around, he would pick out a tune on the piano, and it's not like he'd ever had lessons or anything. He just, there was some kind of musicality within him. My granddad on my dad's side was a really well-known performer in Derry. He was a singer, an actor, a comedian. My mum's got a lovely singing voice. So was my dad. He showed me how to play guitar. All my brothers and my sister, whether they would acknowledge it or not, have lovely singing voices. Yeah, it's just something that's within us.
Were you very, very young when you played the guitar?
When we were sort of 4 or 5, you know, when children have those little plastic guitars. So they look like guitars, but they don't sound like guitars because they don't have proper strings on them. So we used to just mime. Me and my brother would mime playing guitars. First picked up the guitar when I was sort of old enough and big enough to hold it, because they're quite bulky things, yeah, aren't they? You know, so I was about 10 or 11, and I remember picking it up because I just wanted to be able. I'd watched my dad play it, and it was becoming more and more attractive. Mm. So I just started fiddling around on the bass string, on the E, yeah, and copying, you know, three chord songs. I asked my dad to show me how to play some chords, and he did, and it took a lot of practicing and watching Elvis videos. I found that very useful because loads of his songs were just sort of three chords, and you could see very obviously what chords he was playing. I can't read music, like I can't sight read music. If you were to put down, you know, a page of music in front of me and say play that, I wouldn't be able to do it. When I was younger, I had piano lessons, and I might have been able to do it slowly with loads of mistakes. I can read music to the extent that if you put me down a page with chords that says A, C, minor. Mm. I can follow those, but that's kind of about it. It's much more playing by ear, I think, so is what I do.
Do you think that in a way makes you more free when you write a song, because you're not programmed to sort of go to one chord that should follow on from another one?
Possibly. I think if I were able to read music really well and know music theory, I would do that, because it's kind of nice to know the rules before you break. It's kind of nice to know what rules you're breaking. Mm. Do you know, funnily enough, I think I would say no, it probably doesn't help. Everyone makes the best of it, don't they? If you can't read music particularly well, then you do what you can. Yeah. But I think, no, I actually think the more you know about it, the better.
Who did you grow up with listening to? As in, you was mentioning Elvis. What yeah. other sort of influences?
Anything that was in the record collections of my mum. It's funny because my mum had loads of singles from the 60s and some albums as well. And I don't remember my dad having any. So it was all my mum's stuff. I suppose because he came from a big family, and maybe if there were records in his house, the older brothers stole them. But yeah, so stuff like the Monkees, really tuneful, rhythmic stuff. Bobby V and the Beatles, obviously. You know, we have a few Beatles albums that my brother and I used to listen to incessantly. Yeah. That's what informed, you know, loads of our early writing. As we got older, we listened to some stuff that was a bit more mature, maybe, that again, that was from our parents' record collections. So you'd have Simon and Garfunkel, Paul Simon by himself, an Irish musician called Paul Brady. He brought out an album called Hard Station in about 1981, and it was his transition album from folk music to rock music. That was on an awful lot in our house. I remember my mum playing it. Back then, I suppose, before streaming and YouTube, you had a smaller number of songs to listen to, didn't you? Mm. And you listened to them over and over.
And so right the way through.
You got, yeah. Yeah, right the way through and then over the B-side. Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I recall from childhood years. And then through teenage years, I got into, in the 90s, I loved Crowded House, Delamitri, and later Travis, and Squeeze too. And I think all of those bands would probably say that they were heavily influenced by the Beatles. I'm sure they all loved them, because it's all, you know, very melodic stuff. Mm. Lately, I've been listening to Ron Sexsmith a lot, and Paul Simon. I just think the older he gets, the better he gets. Mm. I love his quiet delivery. That's what I'm liking about Ron Sexsmith at the moment, his quiet delivery.
Who would you like to work with? Is there one musician you was like, oh, I'd like to do a duet, or I'd like to record with them?
Oh, gee.
Could be alive or dead. Preferably alive normally helps.
yeah, I'd be doing a lot of the work myself if they weren't alive. Oh, God, that's... I think, you know, I would say Neil Finn, because he's maybe my greatest he's who I admire the most in music, but I think that might be a bit too intimidating, you know, because he would be just too brilliant. That's a good question, that. I think I would love to meet Fran Healy and work with him, because from what I hear, you know, he is friendly, down to earth.
Yeah.
As I'm sure Neil Finn is, but I don't know that for certain.
You'll be listening now going, well, that's just the end of that.
He will be listening, won't he? Because what's the time? Just after midnight, yeah.
Well, it could be listening on the playback.
Oh, indeed, yeah.
We've not insulted anyone. With lyrics, what's the best lyric that you think you've ever written? What's the line out of one of your songs when you've gone, I nailed that, what a line?
Oh, my word. Let me think now. Okay. There's a song I wrote called Station Road, which was about, it was actually about a road called Abbey Wood Road, where my mum grew up. And where we used to spend our holidays all the time, or in the summer. I think there's a line in that. This will sound really pretentious, right? But I was reading James Joyce's Dubliners at the time, and I liked the way how he would write about Dublin as if it was a living thing. The houses draw their breath in at night, or something like that. They kind of personify the houses. There's a line in Station Road that goes, houses standing toe to toe. Yeah, actually, now that I say it, that's probably a pretty crap line, but I like it. Houses standing toe to toe. I could imagine the houses, you know, like people all squashed up, standing toe to toe.
What song would you have liked to have written? Is there one song out there you went, I wish I'd have written that?
yeah, here, do you know what? I would love to have written, you'll always, no, hang on. You'll never walk alone.
You'll always walk alone. It's my version.
That's a song that I had the single of when I was little, and used to play that quite a lot. And it's just so stirring. I love the words. Mm. And the melody is so lovely. They're the kind of thing that I would love to say in a song. Walk on through the storm, through the wind, through the rain. Yeah, it's so comforting, really. It's sort of like, it's like a secular hymn, you know.
When you go out and do your gigs, because you gig all over the place, do you ever get people coming up to you and saying, you know what, you should go on one of those TV programmes, you should go on The X Factor, you should be going on The Voice? Have you ever thought about going on to any, is that an avenue you would ever do, or something that not really your cup of tea?
No, in a word, no. Yeah, I have heard that a bit, as has everyone. I'm sure you have plenty of times, you know, if you're in a taxi, say, on your way to a gig, taxi driver says, just, you know, strikes up conversation, what are you doing, where are you going? And as soon as you mention music or singing or playing, yeah, the words X Factor or The Voice trip out of their mouth. And that's fine, but it's kind of disappointing as well that's the first thing a lot of people think of, that would be your ambition, that would be your aim to, you know, to go on a show and sing a song that people have heard millions and millions of times before. It's entertainment, all right. It's funny, I remember someone I was working with who loved The X Factor, and she was talking about it one Monday morning. Did you see The X Factor last night? I said, no, I didn't see it. She said, what? No, I don't watch it. And she said, what, you like music and you don't like X Factor? and I was gobsmacked.
Yeah.
Because... yeah, that's kind of it. I do like music and I don't watch X Factor. Not because I've any problem with the people who go on it, because I would have done that when I was younger. You know, I just loved singing for the joy of it, and I wanted people to hear me sing and tell me I'm a good singer. Oh, I don't know. It's the whole atmosphere of it, I don't like. I don't like music being a competition. I don't like...
Being judged? Because there's so many different vocalists and so many, you know, people play piano differently and guitar, and there's in music there is opportunity for everybody. You don't have to have a voice like Aretha Franklin. You don't have to sound like Fran Healy. But you can be anybody. Yeah. You can be anybody, and that's the joy of doing music.
Exactly, yeah. If you take fame and X Factor out of it, you know, if you want to make music, you can do it in your bedroom, like you mentioned to me earlier about a program.
Be careful what you're saying. You mentioned earlier about your bedroom. I do that to all my guests. Cut that bit out.
Making music in your bedroom.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, you know, if you're a singer like, say, Mark Knopfler or Bob Dylan, I mean, where would they have got on the X Factor? They would have been told, you've got no future in music. Yeah. Purely because they don't have a big belted out voice. There's so much you can do. You know, there is a scene, there's open mics. If you want to play live, you know, you can do that kind of stuff.
That's a good thing about having a guitar, isn't it? Because if you're a singer and a guitarist, rather than being a keyboard player, which is always a bit of a pain, you can just turn up anywhere. You can go anywhere with your guitar on your back, sing and go.
You're dead right, yeah. Imagine having to try and bring a keyboard everywhere.
Yeah, or being a drummer. You'd want to be a drummer. Because I bet you've done gigs with drummers, and you go, anyway, I would love to stay and help you, but I've got to go.
I know, the loading in, loading out. That's another thing about modern recording as well, actually. It is cool if you can have a brilliant percussionist, a brilliant drummer, but from what I recall of recording, you know, setting up the drums and miking the drums takes half of the first day up.
Yeah.
Whereas now you've got so many brilliant, really, really good digital options to use percussion. On REM's album, Up, when it was their first album after their drummer left, they did get a new drummer in to do some drums, but loads of the stuff on that is... you know, what would you call it? Electronic percussion. Yeah. It's not not sticks on skins, and it sounds brilliant.
Yeah.
I forget what the point was there.
Well, you're not looking for a drummer.
Yeah.
So if you're listening in thinking, oh, I'd love to come and do some drums for Noel, forget it. He's not interested. There you go. Now, the second EP, Home Is Everywhere. Tell us about the songs on the album.
It's called Home Is Everywhere because, as we've discussed earlier, for me and for my family, so many places feel like home because we've lived in so many places. So it's almost like everywhere we go, we've got a relative or we've got a past or a memory. And the songs on that EP are, I don't know, I hope they're not nostalgic because that sounds a bit sort of drippy, but they're definitely about memories of the great childhood that I had. Yeah, that Sunday on the Quay is one of the songs on it. So that's memories of Dublin, actually, I'm thinking of there mainly. Can you remind me of a song? What's another song that's on that album? Station Road, of course. Yeah. Yeah, that was a massive part of our lives. Abbey Wood Road, where our mum lived, where we went and spent 6 weeks every summer. You know, so little details like cracks in the road and lavender smells coming out of the church. They just imprinted so strongly themselves on us, that's what I was writing about at the time. Mm. I think moving into the future, I may not write so much about the past just because, you know, things have changed so much in a great way for me and my family lately. You know, I've got a young family now, children, so rather than me harken on back to my childhood, I'm sort of, I suppose, looking at their childhood and wondering what's ahead for them. I guess that's going to work its way into future songs.
And how old are your babies?
They are 21 months.
Yep.
And 21 months and 21 months.
No way. You've got triplets?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, was that a surprise?
Oh, massive, yeah. Massive, massive surprise, a huge one. It was such a big surprise that we didn't tell anybody until a couple of months before they were born, because it took us so long to get used to the idea of it.
Yeah, that must be really shit. You're just thinking, oh, I've just got left the one baby and we can do this little room and everything else.
Yeah, well, you know, we had, you know, both of us had started driving because we were thinking, you know, if we're going to have a baby, then we're going to probably need a car. But then
we pretty much did.
A little Nissan Micra. By the time we knew that there were triplets, that was just useless because you can't get three car seats into that.
No.
So what we have now is a taxi, a black London taxi.
Yep.
Which is the most fun thing to drive, and it also doubles up as my sort of rehearsal studio and writing room now, because driving along in that, there's the screen, you know, so I can sing to my heart's content without everyone else getting an earful.
Yeah. When you're going out for the day or going to the shops, it is like a military operation then, because it's bad enough, I suppose, when you've got one baby and you get a first time parent, you go, well, we got the bag, or you got, because everything's all new, isn't it? You've got everything's all new and shiny and you think it's going to go a certain way. And I suppose having three children, that is just everything goes out of the windows.
Who knows? You see, because I wouldn't know what it's like to have one baby, because we've only ever had none, or we've had three. So yeah, I think it is a bit of a military operation.
Do you have to be very, very organised? Obviously, organised.
In certain ways, I think you have to. I particularly have to try and get used to a certain amount of manageable disorganization, you know, because there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of mess gets made, and it would be pointless to try and organize that too much, because you'd just always be behind the clock.
And this Christmas is going to be the one where they're kind of more aware, is it? So
I think so.
Yeah.
Last year, they would have had no idea, and they couldn't even unwrap presents themselves, whereas now they can certainly do that. Yeah, and they're definitely going to know the difference, you know.
Mm.
We put up a Christmas tree last year, but I don't really think they even noticed it, but they certainly will this year.
Yeah. They want to be in it.
Yeah, they want to be on it. On
yes. what have you got? Are they all girls or boys? Or have you got?
We've got one boy and two girls.
Yeah.
The little boy is Andrew, and it's St. Andrew's Day today. Yeah. So happy St. Andrew's Day to Andrew. And then our two girls are Martha and Pearl.
Oh, what lovely names. Mm-hmm. Very nice names. Are they named after family members or just...
Kind of. Yeah. My wife, Katrina, had an aunt who I don't think she ever knew, but we've seen an old picture of her recently. She was called Pearl.
Mm.
And Katrina just loved that name anyway, the whole idea of it.
Yeah, it's lovely.
And then with Martha, Martha just sort of came to... my dad's called Martin.
Yeah.
So that's a nod to him.
Wow. Do you know what? I just find it just through. When you said three, but I was like, whoa, wow. That is a big surprise.
Yeah.
Especially when you're only expecting one. And have you got triplets anywhere else in the family? It was just you?
No. I think my wife might have one set of twins.
Yeah.
You know, like 100 years back or something. But no, it's.
You got your band right there. You see, as you're getting a little bit older, you can say, can you bring out the PA system for me, kids? Dad's going out. They can be sat there with a little drummer and the guitarist, piano.
It's so tempting, isn't it? I have to be careful because much as I would love them to do, they're going to have their own interests, aren't they?
Yeah.
So if what they actually prefer is fly fishing or...
Oh, they'll definitely be. I think they'll definitely be musical, I think. So.
They seem to be at the moment. Yeah. They love the theme tunes. On children's programmes. Yeah. They love the theme tunes more than the programmes themselves. Mm. And you do see them kind of shaking their booty a little bit, wobbling around whenever they hear beats or music come on.
Now, you're going to play two songs for us now, and then we're going to end on one of the recordings.
Okay.
Listen to me. I sound like I'm from the 1940s. One of the recordings. I'm just going to wind up the put the old CD on. CD or single. No, we're going to play a song as well, which I've loaded up, which is Sunday on the Key, but we'll play that at the end.
Right. I'm going to do the latest song I've written, which is called These Days, and then I'm going to do a cover, which is Out of This World by Tim Finn, who's one of those Finn brothers who I love so much.
Lovely. Well, thank you very much for coming in. You did go, he has been on the BBC, and I didn't realise that they pinched my guests. So
not Crime Watch.
No, not Crime Watch. But I didn't realise until it was far too late for you to ask you to steal a mug, which I'm slightly disappointed. But if you do go back to the, maybe just steal something. I keep asking my guests and nobody's come up with a mug for me yet.
I don't know. I'll just have to steal one from you instead.
I bet they take them back. I bet as soon as you get up to go, when you're in there for your 5 minutes to go, and they reach over and take the mug back.
They've probably got a lot of handles where they've tried to get it back.
I'm going to get you. You can keep our one. Look at that. Isn't that lovely?
And it's got a handle.
And it's got a handle on it as well. Yeah, it's not chipped or anything. Now, while you get yourself ready over there, live music coming up in the studio.
Can I just say, Michelle, thanks very much indeed for all the support you've given to me, and also to my brother Ewan and his
hello, Ewan.
Output as well. Yeah. You've played our stuff so much and really appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome.